accepted that I was going to die, and I gave up, and I just said, you know what, man, I'm just tired. I'm not going to fight anymore. I knew as I was laying there bleeding out that if I gave into that darkness and I allowed myself to go to sleep and just stop fighting, that I would never wake up again.
Welcome back to another episode of The Burn. I am Ben Newman, and you know how we do this every single week. We're going to bring you a story of an athlete, an entertainer, a celebrity, an entrepreneur, somebody who's performed at the highest possible level, who helps us understand that why and purpose is not enough. There's an underlying burn that ignites your why and purpose and causes you to do it on the days that you don't want to do it, and especially after you win. When I tell you today is a guest that might be the most suited of any guest we've ever had to teach you to stop making those excuses, to limit your self-talk, as he likes to say, to get off the X and to take immediate action, Jason Redman is the man to deliver this message. I want to share, Jason fought for this country at its highest possible level, served this country for 21 years. He's a Navy SEAL. That is the elite of the elite of the elite. Now, as an elite military veteran and leader of this country, Jason has gone through many ambushes that he refers to in his life that have shaped and molded who he is, how he shows up in life. And I would say to you, he is just as dynamic off the battlefield as he was on. Because I had the opportunity, and this all finally happened because of Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. We had the opportunity to share the stage together at her Forever Strong Summit in January of this year down in Austin, Texas. And I sat next to Jason. He's probably like, man, people tell me all the time that, like, yeah, you were looking forward to meeting me or hearing me speak. I literally pulled out my phone. I went to the DMs on Instagram. I read his book, Overcome, in 2020. This book has been earmarked more than like dog years, more than any other book probably I've ever read. I absolutely loved this book. And I went, I'm like, you see that, Jason? Right there. And we had DM back and forth back in 2020. It was such an honor to share the stage. And I've been able to share the stage with so many people in my life, having done this for almost 20 years. And sometimes, I'm just gonna be real. Sometimes you hear somebody online and then you meet them and it just, they like fall way below of the expectation when you hear like a full speech. Man, can Jason Redman deliver. It was so powerful hearing him speak. And that's why I am so excited to finally have him on The Burn. I had to do more of a regular introduction than I normally do because you, my brother, you deserve it. Jason Redman, welcome to The Burn.
Yes, Ben, my honor, man. Likewise, amazing to share the stage with you. I think that's one of the coolest things about this world we live in is getting to meet so many incredible, talented, successful individuals who share on how to be. So thank you for both a great introduction and sharing the stage with me.
Well, it was such an honor. I can't wait to do it more. I am going to plant the seed because people love coming to our events. They love coming to our boot camps. And I'm just telling you, it was so hard because I want to bring Jason in like this year for one of our events, but everything was already booked. And so like the moment I heard him, I'm like, you have got to be on one of our stages. So in 2025, just put it down and get fired up. Jason will be with us for a boot camp. So stay tuned for all of those details. But Jason, one of the things that I admired so much about your story and you read the book, is that you epitomize what it means to get off the X. I mean, you epitomize what it means to overcome adversity. Before we even get to you serving the country, being a leader in the SEALs, where did your burn for life, where did that fire come from for you to really want to operate at the highest possible level in everything that you do? Because you don't become a SEAL as a small thinker who doesn't take action in life.
Yeah, Ben, that's a great question. And I've often asked that. Some of it is genetic, in my opinion. There's a little something inside us that drives us to be better. There's a fuel to that fire. I'm not a big guy. I'm on the smaller end of the spectrum in the SEAL teams. I'm about 5'7", 170 pounds. And I was definitely a runt growing up. I mean, I think when I went through SEAL training, I was only about 135 pounds. So I was one of these guys that blossomed late and all these different things. So I heard my whole life from my dad, you're too small, to guys at school, you're too small. Although I wrestled, I played football to push myself. But there was just this fuel that drove me that when people would tell me I couldn't do something, it just ignited this drive to do it and prove them wrong. And I had grown up in a family that had been military. And as I explored different aspects of the military, my dad was in the Army. He was airborne. He was an airborne instructor. He was a rigger. And SEALs, including myself, all the way up until about 2001, we all went through U.S. Army Airborne School. So my dad had met SEALs in airborne school. And when I was a kid, you know, about 14 years old, he said, you know, if you want to go to the best of the best, he said, you should check out the Navy SEALs. And I looked them up and it said, hey, the toughest military training in the U.S. military, some say in the world. I don't know what it was. At 14 years old, I really hadn't pushed myself in any way at that point. I wasn't an athlete at that point. I was a fan of G.I. Joe. That was about it. But a kid with this burning desire to do something and to be in the military. And at that moment, I said, that's what I'm going to do. And so many people told me I'd never do it. I'd never make it. And all that just continued to fuel my fire. I never lost sight of that vision. And 17 years old, I joined the Navy while I was still in high school. It was part of the delayed entry program. As soon as I graduated, I went to boot camp and 18, turning 19, found myself in SEAL training.
It's so incredible to hear you talk about how you embraced what I refer to as a JWM mindset, a just watch me mindset. And oftentimes that's a common burn. People will struggle sometimes. I don't know what my burn is. I didn't go through pain like you went through. That's a really common one that people don't realize the power and strength of it. When somebody tells you can't do something and then they keep coming at you and then you set a new goal and they tell you again, it's amazing that fuel. And so for those of you who haven't maybe recognized it, get deep and connect to those people who tell you can't do something and go prove that you can, because Jason is an example for all of us that you can do it, you can fight, and you can overcome. So take us now to going to serve the country. How many deployments for you, and what was the first deployment as a SEAL?
My first deployment was to Central and South America. So this was in the early, mid-90s. My team was focused on jungle warfare and counter-drug warfare. The drug war was still pretty in high demand, obviously, into the 80s. The cartels were still strongly running many of the coca production that was coming out of Colombia and Peru. And even moving into the 90s, even after the death of Pablo Escobar, the cartels and Colombian guerrillas were still controlling a lot of the coca production. So the U.S. continued to put a lot of effort into that, and I found myself as going down into Colombia and Peru and got to do some different things, counter-drug training forces, working with local militaries on how we could train them, and even levels of intelligence gathering to facilitate operations in Colombia. I mean, for a 20-year-old kid, and it was amazing. It was everything that I ever dreamed of, to be able to do these real world operations, and gave me a great appreciation for life outside the United States, great perspective in our own country. So many Americans, I feel like they take for granted how good we have it. You don't, you know, until you've been to really the deep, dark, hard, poverty-stricken areas of a third world country, I think it's hard to wrap your head around that based on our lives here in America. Not that we don't have problems, not that there's not poverty here, but third world poverty is a whole nother level. And it really gave me a lot of great perspective. And it was a kind of an amazing career to jump off on, you know, as I got to go do these things as a young SEAL.
You know, one of the things I love in hearing you mention that, and I knew, because watching you from the stage, you do such an incredible job of painting a picture with your words. Like, I can see you on that battlefield, boots on the ground, in the middle of a firefight, as I know you SEALs like to call it. And I think this is so important for where we're going to take this conversation, because you've been right in the middle of it. Like when you talk about, and we're going to talk about it later, getting off the X and taking action and execution. And sometimes you can't think, it's this immediate action. When you're in the middle of a firefight, you better be prepared for what's coming your way. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and I often talk about this. I mean, you already talked about this idea of getting off the, what I call the overcome mindset. And I survived a devastating and very elaborately well-planned and executed enemy ambush. And I'm very fortunate to still be alive. Oftentimes, well-executed ambushes, you don't survive. And obviously hit 8 times between my body armor, body, shot in the face, 2 rounds in the left elbow. Several of my teammates were shot in the same firefight. We managed to get out of that firefight by getting off the X. And that is a phrase used in special operations. Law enforcement uses it also, but the X is the point of attack. It's, you know, it could be a sniper attack. It could be an IED attack. In this case, it was a multiple machine gun, multi enemy force, configuration ambush. And the idea is that you have to fight back. And, you know, you nailed it, Ben, when you talk about there is a mindset of preparation that has to happen. That falls into the overcome mindset that I talk about. Those things run parallel, you know, overcome mindset and this idea of getting off the X. The overcome mindset is built on 3 principles. Number one is awareness. You have to have awareness that bad things can happen. You can be ambushed. I mean, if we translate an enemy ambush into what I like to call life ambushes, guess what? No matter how great your plan is, no matter how great you've prepared, if it's for an athletic event, if it's for a financial event, if it's for a relationship, I don't care what it is, just you can get punched in the face of life and knocked down and everything can go haywire. And if you live your life thinking that that's never going to happen, you're never going to have some life-threatening illness. Sexual trauma could never happen to me or someone I love. Life-threatening illness could never happen to me. This devastating incident or traumatic event would never happen to me. That's just not reality. The reality is bad things happen to good people all the time. And there's an awareness that has to happen and recognize that. It doesn't mean we live our life in fear. That leads us to step 2 of the process, which is preparation. And oftentimes I meet people who they get so absorbed with something bad that can happen, their level of preparation starts to consume them. So now they're spending 90% of their time to prepare for something that there's only a 1% percentage of it happen. That's not efficient use of your time. This is where we've got to be smart, manage our time. If we recognize, hey, there's a chance this could happen, maybe it's just mentally preparing myself for, okay, well, what would I do? What are the steps? How would I deal with this? And then 3 is action. We think about what are the action steps that I'm going to immediately bring into play if this bad thing was to happen. And I tell people that is the essence of an overcome mindset so that you are not overwhelmed when some catastrophic thing happens. I try to tell people I live my life this way. SEAL training was designed to be this way. We are designed to think, what is the absolute worst case thing that possibly could happen on this mission? Okay, let's ramp that up maybe by 5. Most of the missions that we were on typically were pretty boring compared to training. That's the reality. Now, oftentimes, that night I was wounded, that was an exception to the rule. But for the most part, if you train well, if you have an overcome mindset, you will be ready for those moments and you won't freeze up. And now you'll be able to get off that X.
Have you thought about writing a book, but just don't have the time? We would love to help you make that dream come true this year. Introducing BNC Publishing. We offer an in-house 3-step process to help you bring your book to life. The whole process only takes 60 to 90 days. Compared to 18 months for traditional publishing methods, we work fast. To see if we are a good fit to work together on your project, email our team at info@bennewman.net. That's info@bennewman.net. Now, back to the show.
Your resilience is absolutely extraordinary. To have gone through, and you went into great detail, and I'd love for you to share some of this. Your mindset to me is so, I love paying attention to the details when people speak and tell their story. And there's so many things you had to do to be resilient on the battlefield, to complete operations, to go to places people could never even think of. And that is one thing. It does drive me crazy. I do have to say this anytime I'm with friends that are SEALs or friends that have served our country. It sickens me. And you don't have to say anything, but it sickens me when people in this country have a lack of respect for the understanding of the sacrifice that men and women make to get tucked away in nooks and crannies in this world that you'd be scared to death to even know they're in those nooks and crannies. And they're nooks and crannies they don't even want to talk about on the news because we couldn't even handle it. And they're willing to go there, men and women, for us to have our freedom. So, brother, I appreciate it more than you could ever know. It's one of the reasons why I will never charge the military for a speaking engagement. I love when the military reaches out and I get to go speak, because there's just not enough respect in this country for what you all go through. And it's extraordinary, the mindset of men and women who fight for this country. And for you to have gone what you went through, being shot 8 times to the face, your resilience to just, for me, when I hear your story, to just choose to live. Because I think you and I both know there's people who face adversity and challenge. You get shot in the face. Some people choose to die and God listens. And I think there's a resilience, and this overcome is, I maybe hear it deeper. I read your book maybe deeper than some do. But to me, it's one of the reasons why I was so excited to meet you, is because I feel the resilience that you have just to choose to live is remarkable. So if you don't mind taking us there, Jason, what was it like? You're facing death. I mean, you've been shot in the face. Your body has been blown up. What was it like to choose to live in that moment?
Yeah, and it really does come down to that. I mean, you nailed it. It is a choice. Now, you can't will, obviously, there's a limit to what we can drive ourselves through. Obviously, when the human body, I mean, there are certain parameters that we know, but we also know this. The will to live is one of the most powerful things we have. And we have seen it on, I mean, I can't tell you how many firefighter paramedics that I'm friends with or combat medics who will talk about when an individual gives up on the will to live, they will die. That is just, if they're grievously injured, I could have died. There's no doubt about it. Every doctor I've talked to that was involved in it said it's a miracle you survived from your injuries, from the amount of blood you lost. And it was a choice to not give up. It was I told myself, stay awake to stay alive. It was and it doesn't guarantee that I would have survived. I mean, if that battle had lasted another 10 minutes, 20 minutes, would I have survived? I don't know. There's no guarantee of that. I'd lost a lot of blood, but I will tell you this. If I had accepted that I was going to die and I gave up and I just said, you know what, man, I'm just tired. I'm not going to fight anymore. I knew as I was laying there bleeding out that if I gave into that darkness and I allowed myself to go to sleep and just stop fighting, that I would never wake up again. And I think that is the difference. That is the overcome mindset. It is a willingness to continue to fight no matter what in this life. And I know there's a lot of you listening to this right now. They're like, oh my God, this is such bullshit. You know, this guy, he's a CEO. What he's talking about doesn't correlate to my life. It's not true. I want you to understand something right now. Trauma is trauma. Problems are problems. Whatever hell you're going through as a human, it's your own hell. Like, you're going through your own personal hell. And we live in this comparison world where we have a tendency to compare this to that. But the reality is the human body and humans, all of us, myself, Ben, anybody that's listening to this, we all operate the same. Our bodies work the same. You know, adrenaline, cortisol, heart rate, breathing, respirations, your ability to move your body forward, your ability to get up when it's hard, all those things are the same. So for those of you out there that it is a choice to drive through these hard moments in your life, and it is one of the biggest things that I try to explain to people, it was not a guarantee that I would survive on that battlefield, but I tell you what, there is no doubt that it helped me to stay alive longer.
Well, that's the part where, you know, it just floors me, your mindset. And I don't want to be hard on some of our listeners, but I also don't want to apologize for what I'm about to say. I'm not going to make you say it, but I think it's important. And for those of you that have been to events, you've heard me speak. I always share my mother's story and my perspective of losing my mom, completely different type of pain and trauma than Jason faced on that battlefield. But when I get finished, I always say, I'm not the only one that has a story. Jason isn't the only one. Every single one of you, you have a story. Where I want to be hard on you, but with love and care, is my story or Jason's story gives you perspective. Your story, the pain that you've been through, gives you perspective. So the next time you're complaining about something that isn't worth your energy to complain about, remember the tough stuff that you've been through. Remember that Jason had to make a choice to live. Doctors are saying you're not going to live. Doctors are coming into his hospital room, which we're going to talk about next, basically saying you're not going to live. They're talking about the odds that you're not going to make it. You're not. And we as humans spend so much time getting consumed in what the world tells us is going to happen, or politics tells us is going to happen. And the meat, just stop the self-talk and remember you've probably been through something tougher than what you're currently complaining about now. And so I just want to say that with love, because Jason, I think you and I are one in the same. Like, we don't talk about sliding down rainbows and riding around on unicorns. Like, this is real life stuff. We want people to realize life is not easy and you will get ambushed. So let me ask you this, Jason. For you, those doctors are coming into your room. They're almost like, almost inviting you, just join us in the negativity, join us in the statistics, join us in saying that your life is going to be over. This is one of the most magical moments of your story. I'm going to make sure Tyler, our creative director, just puts the letter up on the screen for people to see it. And I'm going to encourage you, everybody needs to buy the book Overcome, and not just one copy. You need to buy a book for yourself and somebody that's struggling with the pain to take action in their lives, who's struggling to overcome in this world that wants to tell us that we can't make it. You can. And so, Jason, can you tell us what it was like when those doctors are coming in and then the action step you took? Man, it made me teary-eyed seeing it again. It made me teary-eyed reading it. And then you brought me back to that emotion live in Austin.
Yeah, and Ben, I want to tee that up, I think it's critical that we understand that, and you've nailed it. There is a problem in society today that we're convincing people they're victims, and people will place you in the victim box. They wanted to place me in the victim box in that hospital. And, you know, oh, you've been totally mangled. Your face is blown out. You're in ICU. We're going to amputate your arm. You're never going to be the same. Your career is over. It's okay to lay here and feel sorry for yourself. That is the message that we are perpetuating across the world today. You know, no matter what excuse you can come up with, race, creed, color, gender persuasion, injury, disability, socioeconomic background, demographic, where I live, where I came from, single mom, whatever, fill in the blank. We are trying to convince people they're a victim. An overcome mindset says, nope, that ain't me. I am a victor. I will get up. Not a guarantee that I'm going to find this instant success. Not a guarantee that I'm going to get back what's lost. Not a guarantee that I'm going to fix what's broken. But it is a guarantee that I am going to get up and drive forward and figure out a way to overcome. That is what victors do. And in that hospital, that's what was happening. Doctors were telling me I wasn't going to be able to recover. They were telling me they were going to amputate my arm. They were telling me they didn't know how they were going to rebuild the structural integrity of my skull that was totally blown out. They were telling me that I was wired shut. They were feeding me through a stomach tube. I was so weak, I had to have doctor or nurses help me go to the bathroom. I mean, 120 hours earlier, I was a super healthy, fittest shape of my life, running with some of the most amazing warriors on the planet. And then suddenly I found myself lying in a hospital bed with nurses helping me use the bathroom and not even strong enough to lift myself up out of bed. And I was struggling with that. I think for all of us in this life, when you have been hit with a major life ambush, when you find yourself on the X, we all go through the human, Navy SEALs and anyone else too. We go through a process in our mind, like, where do I go from here? Like, how do I find the hope? How do I find the light out of this darkness in the midst of the storm? The world is spinning out of my control. There's nothing I can do. You know, and then we get into that mindset I did, you know, it's not fair. This isn't fair. And I realized, and you know, as I went through those things that, hey man, like, you know, the formula, you know, I'd had a leadership failure that occurred several years ago. I talk about that in both books, The Trident and Overcome. It was through that journey of failure that it built this relentless overcome mindset. So I always tell people, if you be thankful for the bad things that happen to you, because that is when you're truly being forged. An overcome mindset is never built in easy times. You have to go through hard times to flex your overcome muscles. And it was that leadership failure that put me in the right place and right time that when I was injured, I was able to go, you know what, man? You just climbed out of the deepest, darkest hole you were ever in. You rebuilt yourself as a leader. The formula you use to get out of that hole, it's the exact same formula you use to climb out of this bed. And there was a couple of people in the room in this moment when all of this was coming together and they were trying to keep me in the victim box. Like, oh, it's so sad. You know, these wounded warriors, you know, they're none of them are ever going to be the same, broken. They'll, you know, never be able to find success. And they left and I was left with my thoughts in that moment in that room. And I remember thinking, like, coming back full circle once again to, you have a choice. Stay awake to stay alive. You get up, you drive forward. I may not know what the outcome is going to be, but I know that the outcome will not be me laying here as a victim feeling sorry for myself. And I, when my wife came back into the room, I couldn't talk. I'm traked, I'm wired shut. All I could do is write. And I wrote to her, you know what? That it, no one will ever come into this room feeling sorry for me again. And I refuse from this point forward to feel sorry for myself. And I wrote out this sign and it said, attention to all who enter here. If you're coming into this room with sadness or sorrow, don't bother. The wounds I received, I got in a job that I love, doing it for people that I love, defending the freedom of a country that I deeply love. I will make a full recovery. What is full? That's the absolute utmost physically. I have the ability to recover. And I'm going to push that about 20% further through sheer mental tenacity. This room you're about to enter is a room of fun, optimism, and intense rapid regrowth. If you are not prepared for that, go elsewhere. We signed it, the management, and hung it on the door, and it took on a life of its own. It's now been seen all over the place. I got invited to the White House to meet President Bush.
Viral isn't written about even in the books. Word for where that letter's been, brother.
But I tell people that sign represents choice. You have a choice when bad things happen to you. You can choose to be a victim and feel sorry for yourself, or you can choose to get up. It doesn't always mean that you're going to get back once again what was lost. What it means is, hey, I will drive forward. And what I've come to find is that was the end of my SEAL career. In that hospital bed, it was the end of me operating as a SEAL. But you know what? It created a whole new beginning that I went down, you know, and embraced.
And, you know, you're still inspiring and leading individuals who fight for this country, who step on those battlefields through your Speakers Bureau, through your books, through your Coalitions for Wounded Warriors, being a New York Times bestseller, which write another book and it's just going to keep happening every time you put one out. It's amazing how you continue to move people. I would love to finish this way. One of the things that I loved in the book was just that constant reinforcement and message for all of us. It's immediate action. Immediate action, immediate action. And so I think people hear messages like this, and I believe this is how you operate. You're not here to motivate and inspire somebody on the Burn podcast today. You want somebody to choose how they think and how they take action in their life so that their life is never the same. And so for us to be able to accurately do that, I really want to hammer home one of my favorite, the biggest dog ear in the book for me was when you talk about execute and stay the course. So you have to have the immediate action, but, you know, overcome, you know, get off the X, but the importance to execute and stay the course, because I think that is what you live and breathe, the example that you set for all of us. It's what makes you amazing and what makes you not a motivational speaker, a life changer, somebody who delivers literally the formula for somebody to never look at life the same and never take action the same way. So if you could hammer home for us, I cannot end an episode with the mic when I'm with a decorated Navy SEAL who's done what you've done for our country. Purple Heart. I mean, you talk about decorated. It's amazing what Jason has done for our country. So I want people to share this episode. I want you to buy Jason's book. We're going to make it as easy as we possibly can, but I'm going to let Jason bring this one home because he has earned the respect and the right to do so. So brother, you go as long as you want. I want you to finish this episode, but I want you to leave no shadow of a doubt for anybody listening that the way to life is that you must choose to overcome. You must get off the axe, but you must execute and stay the course. Brother, I appreciate you so much. I cannot wait to share the stage with you at a boot camp and other events in the future, but I am giving you the mic to bring us home. I appreciate you, brother.
Ben, my honor, man. Yeah, it comes down to, guys, in this life, you're going to have problems. That is, the no matter how great, no matter how small, you're always going to have problems. Building this overcome mindset and this idea to get off the X, if you can incorporate that into your life, your family, into your everyday thinking, into your teams, into your business, if you build that, then it just becomes second nature. Any problem you face becomes an opportunity to grow and build that overcome mindset. Beyond that, then we start to navigate a course. I often talk about, I have a Point Man for Life online program that I share with individuals on how we find success in this life. Guys, I'm not successful because I fell into it. I am the epitome of the guy that has had to grind. I'm not that smart. I, as a matter of fact, I often joke, I'm the guy that needs to, you know, there's the easy way, the hard way, and there's usually the way that I had to learn things. And it is by grinding, it is by driving, it is by being consistent and pulling myself up. But no matter what I came to find is that these are the principles that I have applied into my life. They are the principles that have worked in the SEAL teams. They've worked in my marriage. They've worked in my businesses. They've worked in my military career. They've worked for me to overcome all kinds of major ambushes in my life. So we have to identify where are we going. Point men are the individuals in the military who navigate us where we're going. They're experts in navigation. They're experts in surveilling the terrain and looking for ambushes and signs of the enemy. And what is the best, most efficient way? How do we try and avoid the ambushes and the problems? But oh, by the way, if we do encounter some major ambush or problem, we've already thought about it and we're ready to start to navigate our way out of it. Once we get to the other side, guess what they do? We get right back on course. Just because something happened didn't mean the mission is over. We still have a mission to do. That is what point men do. That is what execute and stay the course means. Regardless of the setbacks, regardless of the problems, regardless of the adversity, regardless of how you feel, you stay the course. You continue to drive forward. You take action step after action step after action step. And guess what, guys? At some point, you make it to the target or you make it to success.
Jason Redman, this is The Burn. Brother, I appreciate you so much.
Ben, much appreciation to you. Much love, brother. Thank you, everyone, for having me.
We're going to give you all the details to stay connected to Jason, to learn about his programs, to learn about his books. And one more reminder, grab his book. Make sure to stay connected for details on things we'll continue to do together and share this episode with somebody who needs help limiting the self-talk and overcoming. Jason, I appreciate you. This has been The Burn. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you want a signed copy, go to jasonredman.com. And I do signed copies and personalized copies on our website.
We will give you all of those details for you to get that. And until next week, this has been The Burn.
This episode of The Burn Podcast is powered by BenNewmanCoaching.com, your number one source for increasing consistency in your life and building the mental toughness habits required to live the life of your dreams. From self-paced courses to live coaching with Ben and everything in between, head over to BenNewmanCoaching.com and join the thousands of members working to unlock their peak performance every day.